every word from the mouth of Jesus is important. I would never in any way want to diminish from a single thing which came from his mouth. Yet I do believe that there are those words of his which had a greater impact on events or circumstances than other of his sayings. Our lesson text tonight comes from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We'll begin at verse 14. And as we consider the words of the text in the course of our thoughts tonight, I'd like you to be thinking of the fact that these are perhaps some of those very crucial, course-determining words of Jesus. I recognize that these are not all of the crucial words of our Lord, and yet I see in the things that the Lord says here such practical lessons and such vastly important lessons for those people who would consider themselves to be the disciples of Christ, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks concerning the matter of defilement. And we're told over in Matthew's Gospel at chapter 15 and verse 12 that when the Pharisees had heard these things that he said, they were offended by them. So these things concerning defilement, which follow closely upon the heels of other things that he said about ritual defilement, are crucial and important things, offending things to some, and yet so important are they to us who would be the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. True defilement, that's the subject of our text. Now, earlier in the chapter of Mark, which we're considering, chapter 7, Jesus had discussed the criticisms of the scribes and Pharisees. He had answered their criticisms. And what he had talked about was the ritual washings which were dictated by rabbinic tradition. You see, as we mentioned last Wednesday evening, the scribes and Pharisees had this concern that if a person bought something in a public marketplace, he might buy something that had been touched by one who was considered by them to be unclean. Therefore, the necessity of these ritual washings. But Jesus answered them to say all of those things he considered to be the tradition of the elders. These things were not the law of God. Now, however, he's going to address himself to true defilement. And so on another occasion, I have no idea how much later it was. I just know it was a kind of different setting. He calls people to him to discuss with them, to teach them what true defilement is. And he says to them, I want you to hearken and understand, verse 14. Apparently, as I read the text, as I look at the things that he explains to his disciples, I have the very distinct impression that this is something about one of which our Lord was very passionate. This was something that was going to challenge the thinking of the people who would hear him. Hearken and understand, he said to the people. And who were they? Well, they were those people who were steeped deeply in Jewish life in rabbinic tradition. And because of their long-standing involvement in such things as these, it would be very difficult for them to understand what truth was when he spoke it. For they are full of these ideas and these habits and these customs and these traditions. And whatever he might say, which would contradict that in which they had been reared, would be difficult to understand, difficult to accept. Nevertheless, he says to them, I want you to hearken and understand. In verse 15, we find the true meaning defilement. There is nothing from without a man, he says, that entering into him can defile him, but those things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Now stop and think for just a minute. We have all of these Jewish dietary laws, which are part, very much a part, of the revealed will of God, the Mosaic Covenant. But what we need to understand is that it was not anything intrinsically about that food which had within it the potential to defile morally or spiritually. I might mention to you folks who enjoy fried catfish that you'd better be glad we don't live under the Mosaic Covenant. Last week I enjoyed 13 of the biggest fried shrimp you can imagine, but I could not have eaten those shrimp if I had still lived under the Mosaic Covenant. There's not anything particular about those shrimp that would morally or spiritually defile me. Nothing about that catfish which would morally or spiritually defile me. But in the eating of it against the law of God, there was defilement. Furthermore, nothing about eating with ritually unwashed hands which would morally or spiritually defile me. That's what Jesus is trying to help these people understand. It isn't what we eat that defiles us. What he says is it's what comes out of us in our actions. That's what is defiling. And then he says in verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Apparently it was going to be difficult, as I said a while ago, for these people to understand these things, to accept these things. Not necessarily because they were incomprehensible. There are hard lessons to be learned which may not be comprehensible. I frankly confess to you that when I got born of law and algebra, it was incomprehensible to me. I just didn't understand it. But Jesus is not going to teach these people things that are incomprehensible, but he is going to teach them things that are going to be in contradiction to their long-held prejudices, to their deeply entrenched habits and customs, to their deep feelings and desires, perhaps even to their fears. And it's going to be difficult for them to accept these things because of all of that. It's just hard to accept. It's not hard to understand the words. It's hard to accept the meaning of them for my life, you see. So, after apparently this kind of public meeting, Jesus then talks to his disciples in private. He explains these things more fully to them. Verse 17 says, when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. Jesus needed to spend some private time with his disciples. And what we're going to see as we go along through the rest of the Gospel of Mark is there going to be those times when Jesus takes his disciples aside after publicly teaching and explains to them more fully the things of which he has spoken. This is one of those occasions. Takes them aside, goes into the house, and they ask him concerning this difficult and perhaps to them dark saying, this parable. But they remind him in private that the Pharisees had been offended by what he had said concerning this and those ritual washings. If you turn your Bibles to the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll find this same incident is being described. And I want you to notice, I'll begin to read verse 12, and let's read 12 through 14, because I'll mention two or three things from these verses. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying concerning those ritual washings? But he answered and said unto them, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. Now, I want to want you to stop for a minute in your thinking and just go along with me. They were offended at what you said. Oh, no, I'm sorry I said it that way. Oh, I wish I hadn't said it that way. I am so sorry. Let's go run over to them and apologize quickly. No. Maybe there are times when we just need to call things the way they are. That's what Jesus did. They are blind leaders of the blind. Perhaps what he said did offend them. But he hadn't said one thing that wasn't true. And I'll tell you what, I am disposed to believe the spirit in which he said it was not offensive. But it was offensive because they were deeply rooted in their traditions. This was a threat to what they believed. They are blind leaders of the blind. There are times we need to understand that. But he goes on one step further. And he explains to them that the Pharisaic system that is rooted in rabbinic tradition is not from God. And because it's not from God, it will be rooted up, he says. But he has a concern. Look at the next two verses, 18 and 19. Saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Don't you understand this? And see, they've come say, Pharisees are offended. And he has the impression that not only are the Pharisees offended, but his own disciples aren't understanding. They're not comprehending what he's saying. Don't you understand that what goes into a man isn't going to defile him? Why? Because what goes into his mouth goes into the natural disposal system of the human body and it is disposed of. But it does not enter into his heart. Does not affect who he is like ideas might or sin might. Don't you understand this? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. This is Jesus as he explains what he's been trying to teach them. It's not enough for me just to teach you concepts. I'm going to have to draw you a picture, he says virtually. And these are the things they defile because they come out of the man. Now let's come back again to those Jewish dietary laws. It wasn't anything about the particular food that is mentioned that would defile a person morally or spiritually. But to violate God's law concerning that food, that was the thing that defiles. That's what Jesus is teaching them. I mentioned in the title of this lesson, I believe, a dramatic statement, something like that. Well, what he says right here is a dramatic statement because it violates all these people have believed all their lives. It goes against everything they believe. All of their traditions. But you see, this is the application. It's all about the heart, isn't it? In Proverbs 4, verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here in Mark chapter 7. It's not the fact that you are eating a particular kind of meal. That's not the defiling thing. But what comes out of you and the way you act and the way you behave, that's what's defiling. Keep your heart. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes concerning the new mind that Christians must have. Here's what he says, verses 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now what's that same mind going to do for us? That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. There's got to be a new mind. And the new mind is the heart. Keep your heart. Watch over your heart. Over in the book of Ezekiel, in the 18th chapter, and there at verse 31, here's what the prophet writes. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? In the previous verse, the call had been for repentance. But now the prophet explains what's necessary for repentance. There's got to be a new heart, a new mind, out of which will issue a right spirit. But that's the lesson of Mark chapter 7. It's the heart. It's what comes out of you because of what's inside your mind. That's what has the potential to defile you. And here, Jesus refers to both actions and attitudes. It's interesting, if you look carefully at the list of things that he mentions, there are 7 plural actions, and there are 6 other things that are mentioned. The 7 plural things appear to be actions which are sinful. The 6 singular things are apparently attitudes and dispositions out of which issue these sinful actions. Attitudes and consequences is what this is all about. And I wonder as we look at this list about just a couple of these things. Pride, for example. Or lasciviousness, licentiousness, as it may be called in your translation. How many sinful things can come from pride? How many sinful things, actions, can come from lasciviousness, the disposition of sensual desire? And I notice also, in verse 21, for within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. You know, I'm not going to commit adultery, fornication. I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm not going to steal. But what about those evil thoughts? In the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He has not physically committed adultery with her. But what about those evil thoughts? You know, we talked a few weeks ago about pornography. And one of the things that is so desperately evil about it is the fact that it is evil thoughts. And it provokes evil thoughts, sinful thoughts, lascivious thoughts. And Jesus says, even evil thinking defiles a person. I wonder how many of us who are here tonight would have to say that's applying to me. Now, I don't want to be the judge of any of our lives. It's not my intention at all. But what I am wanting to say is that there's some of these things that are listed that I know none of us will ever do. We're not going to be guilty of these things, but what about evil thoughts? Young people, what about evil thoughts? Attitudes lead to consequences. So we read over in Matthew 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Precious friends, we need to look honestly at our hearts. I know that we take care of our physical hearts. There's an entire field of medicine called cardiology. And many of us who are here in this assembly see a cardiologist from time to time, a heart doctor, because we'll take care of our physical hearts. A lot of us take blood pressure medicine, but this won't take care of these physical hearts of ours, and we don't want to have high blood pressure that may cause a heart problem or a stroke or any of that kind. You know, we take care of those kind of things. I wonder if Jesus isn't calling to us in this section of Scripture to take better care of our spiritual hearts than we take of our physical. What comes out of you defiles you. This is such a terribly important lesson. I know a few lessons more dramatic, more practical, of which Jesus spoke. You can say, well, yeah, he spoke to that time, and he did. He spoke to the scribes and Pharisees. But folks, listen. The same thing which defiled people then defiles us now. It's what comes out of us. Because of what's in our hearts. The song we're going to sing, an invitation song, says, "I am resolved." And I was thinking as Tim announced the number, and I looked to see what it was, that although the song is not going to talk about the kinds of things of which I've spoken tonight, it's going to take resolution if you and I are going to deal with what's going on in our hearts. Not our physical hearts, our spiritual hearts. Resolution to keep our hearts pure and clean. To keep the kinds of things which might defile our temple from being permitted into our lives and into our hearts. I'm resolved I'm not going to have evil thoughts. I'm resolved I'm not going to let my life become a sensual life. I'm resolved I'm going to deal with the problem of pride, because I know out of pride come so many horrible things in relationships. Pride twists the Word of God. I'm resolved I'm going to deal with all of these things. Are we? The things of which we've spoken describe really who we really are. And the question it seems to me we need to be answering is, who am I really? What's going on inside of me that is being seen by the way that I live my life, by the things that I say, by my habits? What's going on inside of me? Who am I really? And so we extend tonight the invitation. Are you resolved? Resolved to go to the Savior for the cleansing that His blood offers? Are you resolved to repent of sin in your life and ask Him for forgiveness? Where's the resolution? That's what it takes to be pure in heart. And if you need to come tonight, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.